Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Ages of Globalization, Geography, Technology, and Institutions is a nonfiction history and political economy book by Jeffrey D. Sachs that uses a long historical lens to explain how human societies became increasingly interconnected, rather than treating globalization as a recent economic trend. Sachs organizes the story into seven major ages shaped by the interaction of geography, technological change, and institutions. The book moves from early human migration and the Neolithic Revolution to horse-based empires, classical land empires, European maritime expansion, industrialization, and the digital era. Its purpose is not simply to recount world history, but to show how past patterns of connection, competition, and cooperation can inform present debates about development, governance, and sustainability. The result is a broad synthesis aimed at readers who want a historically grounded explanation of today's global challenges and the institutional choices that may shape the future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, globalization as a long historical process, not a modern accident. A central argument of the book is that globalization did not begin with the internet, modern trade, or the 20th century. Sachs presents human history as a sequence of increasingly wide-ranging integrations that began with the spread of Homo sapiens across the planet and continued through agriculture, state formation, imperial expansion, and industrialization. This framing matters because it shifts the discussion away from a narrow focus on recent finance or trade policy and toward the deeper forces that repeatedly enlarged human scale. By defining globalization as a recurring historical process, the book helps readers see continuity between ancient mobility, imperial networks, and today's digital interdependence. The analytical payoff is that current global problems can be compared with earlier transitions, even if the technologies differ. That broad timeline also challenges simplistic claims that globalization is either entirely new or entirely inevitable. Instead, it appears as a contingent pattern that has advanced through specific combinations of environmental opportunity, technical capacity, and political organization. Secondly, geography as the starting condition for development and power, Sachs gives geography a foundational role in explaining why societies evolve differently. Climate, terrain, disease environments, access to coasts, rivers, fertile land, and natural corridors all influence where populations settle and how easily they exchange goods, ideas, and power. In this account, geography does not determine history in a rigid way, but it sets the conditions under which technologies and institutions succeed or fail. Regions with favorable routes for travel and communication often became centers of trade and empire, while isolated or ecologically difficult regions faced different development paths. The book also treats geography as dynamic, because new technologies can reduce distance and overcome barriers that once mattered greatly. This is one reason the same place can shift from peripheral to central across different ages. Sachs uses geography to show that globalization is always uneven. Some societies connect earlier, accumulate advantages, and project power more effectively than others. That perspective is useful for thinking about development gaps without reducing them to culture or policy alone. Thirdly, technology as the engine that expands human reach. The book traces major technological shifts as the practical mechanisms that widen the scope of human interaction. Early tools enabled survival and migration, agriculture made settled life and surplus production possible, the domestication of the horse transformed transport and warfare, and later maritime and industrial technologies connected distant regions at far greater speed and scale. In the modern age, digital systems continue that pattern by compressing time and distance in communication, finance, and coordination. Sachs's treatment of technology is not a celebration of innovation for its own sake. He emphasizes that each technological wave changes the structure of society by altering what can be produced, how armies move, how trade works, and how states govern. Technology therefore reshapes institutions rather than simply adding convenience. It also creates winners and losers because new capabilities often benefit groups already positioned to exploit them. This makes the history of globalization a history of expanding capacity, but also of disruption, inequality, and strategic competition among societies that adapt at different speeds. Fourthly, institutions as the rules that determine whether connectivity produces order or conflict. Alongside geography and technology, Sachs places institutions at the center of his explanation. Institutions include political systems, legal arrangements, religious authorities, commercial rules, and administrative structures that organize collective life. The same technological advance can produce very different outcomes, depending on whether institutions support cooperation, extraction, conquest, or exchange. For example, empires can use roads, horses, or sea routes to integrate vast territories, but they can also turn those systems into instruments of domination. Similarly, modern globalization depends not only on transport and communications infrastructure, but also on trade rules, financial norms, public health systems, and international cooperation. This institutional emphasis is important because it suggests that history is not driven by technology alone. Human choices matter, especially when societies design rules that distribute power and manage interdependence. Sachs uses this idea to connect historical empires with present global governance, arguing that the modern world needs institutional frameworks capable of dealing with shared risks such as conflict, poverty, climate change, and pandemics. Lastly, why the book links historical analysis to sustainable development and multilateralism. The book is not only a history of globalization, it is also an argument about what the future requires. Sachs uses the long view to show that humanity now faces problems that cannot be solved within national borders alone. Climate change, health threats, migration, financial instability, and inequality all reflect a world in which states are deeply interdependent. Because of that, the historical lesson is not retreat from globalization, but better governance of it. The book connects this conclusion to sustainable development, suggesting that economic progress must be aligned with social inclusion and environmental protection. It also points toward a renewed multilateralism, meaning stronger international cooperation based on shared interests rather than zero-sum rivalry. This is one of the book's distinguishing features. It combines world history with a policy-oriented framework for the 21st century. Readers are asked to move from understanding the past to evaluating institutions that can manage planetary-scale risks. That makes the book especially relevant for policymakers, students of global affairs, and readers interested in development, public health, and international cooperation. In conclusion, The Ages of Globalization will appeal most to readers who want a serious synthesis of world history, development economics, and global governance. It is especially useful for students, policy analysts, educators, and general readers who want to understand why modern interdependence looks the way it does and why historical perspective matters for present decisions. The main benefit of the book is intellectual, rather than purely descriptive. It offers a framework for connecting geography, technology, and institutions across very long spans of time. That makes it valuable for readers who are frustrated by accounts of globalization that focus only on recent trade conflicts or digital change. Compared with narrower books in the field, Sachs's work stands out for its sweeping chronology and its explicit link between history and sustainable development. It does not treat globalization as a single event or a purely economic process. Instead, it explains how different eras of human organization have repeatedly expanded scale while creating new forms of vulnerability and governance need. Readers come away with a stronger sense of continuity, a clearer view of institutional trade-offs, and a practical lens for thinking about the future of multilateral cooperation. If you would like to support Jeffrey D. Sachs, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.